A warm welcome to the Ready for Retirement podcast. And if you're listening to this going, that voice sounds a little different than James Knoll, it's because it is different. I am not James Knoll. I am guest hosting the next few episodes to talk about an early retirement. My name is Ari Taublieb. I am the vice president of Root Financial Partners. I work very closely with James Knoll, who is our founder. And I'm going to be talking about an early retirement. I am an active financial advisor here at Root, and I am the host of the Early Retirement Podcast. I know that was a little bit of a mouthful right there, but it's not an early retirement that I'm in love with. What I'm in love with is the idea of helping clients know when they are in a position where work is truly optional. If you love what you do, great. Keep doing it. I'm not saying stop. I'm saying know when you're in a position where you no longer need to. Is there a hobby that you've been putting off that you just cannot wait to get started on? Is there a job that you'd rather switch into, even if it's bringing in less income, but you do it for more years because there's just so much more enjoyment there? Maybe that's an alternative. I'm going to be talking about all of the different strategies that you can look into if you want to retire early, and specifically in today's episode, what you should avoid and what people don't consider when it comes to an early retirement that is just so important. So I'll leave you with this question before I roll the intro so that you have something to think about, which is, if you were retired today, what would you be doing? Close your eyes. Now, unless if you're driving, please do not close your eyes. We don't need any lawsuits here. But I do want you to think about, if you were retired, what would you be doing? Is it traveling? Is it more time with family? Is it saying, hey, there's a hobby I've been putting off for so long? What would you be doing if you were retired today? The host of this podcast, James Knoll, will be back shortly after these three episodes where we focus on an early retirement. Now let's get back to the episode. When people talk about an early retirement, when are they talking about? Are they talking about age 40, age 50, age 55? Well, really, an early retirement is considered anything before age 65. Now, that's what it says on paper if you're reading different articles or you're just searching online. What I view an early retirement as is really the earliest where you're financially free. And I mean financially free in the sense of, if you don't love your work, you don't need to work. And if you do love your work, you can still go to work, but you know that if there is a bad day or if there's just changes with the way things are being run at the company, that you have the ability to walk away because financially you are okay. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to talk about the five mistakes that I've seen clients make so that you will not have to make them and you can retire early, not running the risk of running out of money or thinking, oh my gosh, I wish I did that one strategy or there's one thing I wish I had considered. You are going to be a pro by the end of today's podcast episode. The number one mistake is financial, but it's got a little bit of a spin to it. And here's what I mean by that. The number one risk, as I see it, is that you continue working even if you no longer need to financially. Many people keep working and working and working, thinking they need to hit that magic number, or there's just some number that will allow them to have the peace of mind, whether that's $1 million or $2 million, or their pension gets to a certain degree. That's what's going to allow them to retire. And if they went through a planning process and they had proper education, that they could have retired 5 years earlier or a few years earlier. And to me, the real risk isn't that they end up with too much money. It's the risk that they could have retired earlier, spent more time doing what it is they care about most, and they didn't because of financial reasons. Now, it's easier said than done, but the big thing we talk about here at Root is there's the mindset to retiring and what it's going to mean, especially if you retire early and you need this money to last for 40 plus years, assuming maybe you retire at 55 or age 60. We need that money to last a very long time. So how do we look at the investment aspect and the tax piece and the estate piece? Well, there's all these different pieces to it, but the real risk here is that you are working unnecessarily. So I tell people, go through a planning process either with a member of our team here at Root or with another advisor to understand when you're in a position to retire and not run the risk of running out of money. The one caveat to that is that there are people who go, Ari, I've heard you talk about it in a podcast episode, or I've heard James explain it, and I do have confidence in retirement, and they retire, but they didn't map out their dream retirement. They mapped out what they thought retirement would be like, which is very common. And then they retire and go, oh my gosh, I have so much more time. I want to do all of these other things. And that's going to cost more. And they'll feel bad about it. And I don't want you second guessing going out to eat or taking that extra trip. I want you to know the trade-offs of those decisions and how it's going to impact your retirement. But I really want you to have that confidence. And the only way to have that confidence, in my opinion, as a planner, of course, there's a bias there, is to have that strategy giving you the confidence and telling you, yes, you are in a position to do so, or no, you're not in a position. Here are the different trade-offs. We could invest differently. We could use this tax strategy. We could work longer. We could spend less. There's all these different levers that you can maneuver to get to your end goal. So that's the first risk. The first risk is that you keep working even if you don't need to financially. The second risk is that you're too conservative. And what I mean by that is I'll ask clients, I'll say, what does risk mean to you? And they'll say, well, I just don't want to be too aggressive. You know, I don't want to lose all of my money. I've worked hard for this for a long time. And I need to be smart about this. And as I get closer to retirement, I've read articles about making sure that, you know, I'm now preserving the wealth I work so hard for. I'll say, I completely agree with you. Please go on. What other risks? And they'll say, well, that's the main risk is that I'm too aggressive and I don't want to run out of money. And I go, stop. Bingo, right there. You don't want to run out of money. Is that right? And they go, of course. Almost like a dumb question. I go, great. We're on the same page there. Let's make sure you don't run out of money. And so when people think of risk, the reason for that basic example right there is when people think of risk, they will say, you know, the risk is that my money's fluctuating and that makes me uncomfortable and I'm losing sleep because of my portfolio. And by the way, if you're ever losing sleep because of the way your investments are allocated, then we're missing the point of financial planning here. Because I often come back to clients with a recommendation of, hey, here's what we recommend, the finances say of how you should be investing. And even if you've heard different YouTube videos from James or myself talking about the history of returns, if you go, Ari, I get it, I've heard you talk about it, but it just doesn't sit with me, then we're not doing it. Meaning the point of planning is to get the most life out of these dollars. Maybe there's less dollars left over, but you go, you know what? I'm more than happy with that trade-off. So that's a caveat there that the finances are always going to tell us one thing. It doesn't mean we're married to that. It doesn't mean we have to go with that. We're using that as a guide. Now, back to the point of not running out of money, clients and I both agree that we do not want you to run out of money. And so how do we make sure that we really effectively have a portfolio that allows us to not run out of money? Well, here's what we don't do. I don't ask clients, how old are you and what's your risk tolerance? Maybe you're thinking my risk tolerance is maybe it's a 5 or maybe it's an 8. Maybe it just depends on how you feel that day. And to me, that's just cookie cutter planning. And so what we do is we look at your expenses. We look at how much income do you need in retirement and what assets do we have to make it happen? Is it rental income? Is it a pension? Is it all coming from retirement accounts? Are those Roth IRAs? Are those IRAs? Is it deferred comp? We take all of that data, all of that information that you've worked so hard for to go, what can it create for us? And what is that ideal allocation? Because if we're too aggressive, we subject ourselves to what we call sequence of return risk, that we retire at the worst possible time. And now you're going, oh my gosh, my retirement is completely out of whack and I'm not confident and I'm not sleeping well. And that's defeating the purpose. Once again, we always talk about the money, but it's not the money that's the end goal here. The end goal is a successful life. So how do we make sure that we're not invested too aggressively, that we have too much of these funds fluctuating that aren't going to be there for our retirement, for our ability to meet our expenses or to go travel or to spend time with family to provide that financial freedom? On the other hand, if we're too conservative, meaning if we have too much in safe assets, and when I say safe assets, I don't just mean cash, but that may be CDs, that might be bond funds, might be various fixed income instruments. If we have too much in these types of assets, well, the first 5, 10, maybe even 15 years of retirement, they'll be comfortable. It's the latter years of retirement that I'll be more worried about. Going back to that first point of how do we make sure we don't run out of money? We have enough assets to support our living expenses throughout the course of our retirement, not just the first 5, 10, 15 years, and not just the latter, but throughout the whole retirement. So risk number 2 is that you're too conservative throughout retirement. Risk number three is that you don't consider part-time income. Now, I know that may sound weird, but here's an example to better understand that. And these are coming from real client stories. You'll learn more and more. I'm all about stories to best illustrate examples, as James shares on these podcasts as well. And an example I'll share come from a client, we'll call client A, John, and we'll call client B, Jane. Now, of course, not real names, preserving their identity here. But in this example, John is really stressed at work, but he feels he just needs to keep working and keep sticking at it. I'm hoping this resonates with any of you listeners at the moment. And here, John is making $150,000 a year gross, and he's 55, and he wants to retire at age 60 because he's just burnt out. So here John is, he's working, he's making $150,000 a year, and he does it for 5 years. So he does that from age 55 to age 60. So over these 5 years, John has made $750,000 gross. And yes, he's maxing out his 401k and he's taking advantage of the catch-up and he's doing all the right things, but he's just stressed out and it's impacting his health at this point. And there's other jobs that he wants to do, but he doesn't want to take the leap because it's just less income and he feels he needs this to be on track for his goal. So that's John. Now, Jane, on the other hand, she has the same goal as John. The difference is she has a job that she really likes, even if it pays less than John, and it yields a higher financial return, and it also yields a higher health return, which you can't always quantify. I'll argue that you often can't quantify that. And in this example, Jane is making $80,000 a year. She's also 55, just like John, but she doesn't work until age 60. She works until age 65. So she's working twice as long as John is working, yet she's making less income. So here's John. Once again, John worked from 55 to 60. He made a total of $750,000 working a stressful job, but that income was $150,000 a year. Then you have Jane. She's working from 55 to 65, so 10 years, and she made $80,000 a year. So not quite half, but significantly less than John, but cumulatively, she actually made more dollars. The difference is it just was 5 more years of work. So you might be listening to this going, Ari, I completely understand the example, but I don't care. At 60, I want to be done. And if that's you, that's perfectly fine. To many clients, it's, no, there's another job I'd really like to do, but I just don't feel like it's going to make a big difference because I'm making a very healthy income today. And what on earth is half of my income going to allow me to do, especially if I want to work less? Well, I showed this example to show that you can yield more dollars through a very basic example here of making less but working for longer. The difference is you might look at your situation, and I hope you do, and you go, well, I don't want to work specifically until 65, but maybe it's 63, and maybe I'm not making $80,000 a year, but maybe it's $100,000. What if I could switch careers, and that would allow me a little bit more time in the morning to go work out, or it would allow me more time to spend with children, or you know what, it's just stressful at this one employer, and I wish I could just go somewhere else, and maybe there's not even one in mind, but it's about getting your time back. The other benefit I'll say to this, and then round out number three here, is you get a sense of practicing retirement when you do not part-time income, but essentially, what if you switch to an income that was certainly less than maybe what you're making today, but the enjoyment is so much more and it still shows you're on track? It gives you the opportunity to start doing more of the things that you say you want to do in retirement, which is going to bring me to risk number four, which is that you don't practice retirement before it happens. Now, I have two stories on this, and here's what I want to share first. Now, the first story comes from a couple that was so confident in what they wanted to do in retirement, which is they wanted to move to Hawaii, and they wanted to spend a ton of time there, really all of their time there, with the idea of that being their home base and allowing them to travel other places, and it was just their dream retirement. And they had thought about it, and they had visited to Hawaii often, but they got there, and all of a sudden, after about 6 weeks, they said, Ari, we don't want to live in Hawaii anymore. And so it was a big financial implication, as you can imagine, because they just bought a home and they just moved and they just shifted their life there. And they found out they didn't want to live there. And so that was a big consideration. And so they said, Ari, if we had just practiced retirement, if we had lived there for a little bit, understood the culture, no dig on Hawaii here. I love Hawaii personally, but for any place, especially if you're retiring and you have this idea that you're going to live in this magical wonderland. Well, it very well could be, but go try it, even if it's for a few weeks or a month or a few months to understand the culture. Or maybe you go, you know what, I have a lot of clients who recently moved to North Carolina and they wanted to move there and they have absolutely loved it. And they did that without practicing. So it's not as if there's a mandate, of course, but the idea is if you're going to make a big move in retirement or call it an early retirement, practice it first. And that could also go with not moving, but with activities. A lot of people go, I can't wait to retire early and just golf more or go hiking or just do some other activity. And they go, Ari, I enjoy it, but not to the extent that I want to do this 8 hours every single day. And so they said, you know, if I could have just practice this in the sense of, hey, what if I, you know, did this a few days a week to get a sense of what I really want to spend my time doing, then they'd be happier in retirement. So not miserable in retirement, but once again, this is all about optimizing your life. How do we get our dollars to lead us to live the most successful life? And so these are the types of things that people often don't consider, which is what am I really going to want to do in retirement? Another story comes from a client who is absolutely lovely, and she may even be listening to this episode right now. And she wasn't sure what she wanted to do in retirement, but she did know that she wanted to be free from work, free from the stress of work, from the politics, and the idea that she could do what she wanted with her time. That's what was attractive to her. But she also didn't know exactly how she wanted to fill her time. So what she did is she went on to Meetup, M-E-E-T, T as in Tom, Up, as in the movie Up, and she found that she had a wonderful time visiting museums and going to movies with a diverse group of people. People from all different races and ages and stages of life. And there were retired people, there were students, there were people in their mid-30s and 40s. And it was just a wonderful thing that I would not have considered. Of course, I haven't retired, but from my clients who have told me, they've just had a wonderful time exploring with other people. And so that can be a wonderful thing to at least look into if you go, hey, I don't know what I want to spend my time on in retirement. I just know I don't want to be doing what I'm doing right now. Show me when I can be done. Well, of course, that's what we financially look at. But now you are retired. And how do you live successfully in the next 40, 50 plus years? I want you to be really confident that yes, you won't run out of money, but two, that you're going to enjoy and have a fun and fulfilling time. Now that, of course, can be seen through volunteering and through other work, mentoring and things like that, time with your church, whatever that may mean to you, but at least thinking through what you really are going to spend your time doing and what would excite you. The last major risk here is that you apply the 4% rule, which was developed by Bill Bangin, to your retirement strategy. Now, what I'll use to illustrate this is a little bit different than normal, which is sometimes people think they need $1 million in order to be okay to retire. And a very basic example is saying if you have $1 million with this 4% rule, you can take out 4% every single year and be rest assured that you're not going to run out of money for 30 plus years. So that's $40,000 a year. Now it doesn't take into account taxes. So is that $1 million fully in an IRA or a Roth IRA? And that's the big consideration here. So if it's all in a Roth IRA, wonderful. There's no taxes when we take it out. With an IRA, we need to pay taxes and then end up with the equivalent of that. The other consideration here is the 4% rule is assuming you're invested in just two asset classes, US large caps and US intermediate term bonds. And so if we're only investing in these two asset classes, this is what that study was based on. Now, there's another study done by John Guyton, which is known as the Guyton's guardrails approach now. And you've heard James talk about this in his episodes, and you've heard different advisors talk about this if you listen to different podcasts. And what that says, John Guyton, his study said, don't just invest in two asset classes, invest in a whole sort of asset classes, real estate, international small companies, value companies, growth companies, emerging markets, developing markets, all these different asset classes, not just two, and follow a strict set of rules of here's when you should withdraw income based off of how markets are performing, and not have that static withdrawal rate, but have a dynamic withdrawal rate. Have one that fluctuates with the market so that if markets are doing really well, we'll be the first person to come to clients to go, hey, can we increase the goals that you talked about? You said you wanted to travel. This is a great year to take that extra trip. In other times, we might say, hey, can we hold off temporarily because here's what it means long term for your portfolio, but always going back to the life piece first, not the money piece. And what I mean by that is it's not saying cut your expenses and just live off of Top Ramen or anything like that. It's no, can we cut expenses temporarily to follow these strict set of rules to make sure that we're absolutely doing as good as we possibly can with the money you work so hard for? In addition to that, John Guyton's study was not designed for 30 plus years. And this is the big one. Because you want to retire early, we need that money to last for 40, 45, 50 plus years. Maybe you're retiring at age 50 or 55 or age 60. Well, we need this money to last a long time. And this rule was designed to do just that. And we're not only investing in two asset classes, we're investing in a diverse set of assets. Lastly, with this, and there's more to this, but these are the main points. When it comes to how much you can withdraw from your portfolio, the 4% rule, once again, assuming you have $1 million, you can take out 4% and be rest assured you won't run out of money for 30 plus years. John Guyton's approach says if you have $1 million and you manage your portfolio effectively with intention and follow these rules, that you can be rest assured to have your money last for 40 plus years, not 30 plus years. And you can take out between 5.2 and 5.5% and be rest assured to not run out of money for 40 plus years. This is a dynamic withdrawal rate where we actually implement this with clients. We're actually doing this to help clients get the most life out of their money. And so when we're implementing these strategies, we want to be really intentional about how much income do we need. And where's it going to come from? Is it a Roth IRA? Is it an IRA? Is it a pension? Is it rental income? Is it inheritance? Is it a combination of all of these things? So to summarize, risk number one is that you keep working even if financially you no longer need to. Risk number two is that you are too conservative and we then run out of money because we're not invested appropriately. Risk number three is that we don't consider part-time income or still full employment, but making less income than you are right now because you think it won't make a big difference. And risk number four is that you don't practice retirement first. You don't think through what you're going to want to spend your time on because you're going to have a lot of it, which is great. And we want to make sure it's fun and fulfilling and one that you're looking forward to. And the final risk is that you only implement the 4% rule. It's the risk that you don't look at other different dynamic withdrawal strategies to create lifetime income in retirement. I kept this episode fairly high level to talk about the five risks to make sure that you can avoid when you are thinking about an early retirement. The next podcast episode, I will also be guest hosting about three ways you can create tax-free income in retirement. I love talking about tax planning. It is underappreciated, in my opinion, in the financial industry, especially when it comes to retirement planning. It is so common that you go to your advisor and they say, go talk to your CPA about that, or talk to your, you know, tax planner, and they go, I don't have that. Isn't that what my advisor should be doing? And there's just not a lot of advisors that do it. So James, myself, and our other planners here at Root, we focus on tax planning in addition to the investments, in addition to estate planning, in addition to everything that creates your dream retirement. So really looking forward to the next episode. If this episode was helpful, we kindly ask that you do leave a 5-star review and you rate the show. That allows more people to find the show. And once again, if you're looking for more episodes on early retirement topics, you can always check out my podcast, Early Retirement, where I share all the tips and strategies just like this to help you understand what you need to do to put yourself in the best position possible to never run the risk, number one, of running out of money, but number two, getting the most life out of the dollars you work so hard for. So hope this episode was helpful, and I will see you all next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ready for Retirement podcast. If you're looking to work with a financial advisor that cares deeply about helping you get the most out of life with your money, head over to our website at rootfinancialpartners.com and click start here. One of our advisors would love the opportunity to speak with you. You can also find the show notes for today's episode on our website, along with other great content that will help you to create a wonderful retirement. And finally, if you have a question that you'd like for me to answer on a future episode, then from our website, click on the Learn tab. Scroll down just a bit on that page and then click Submit a Question to submit a question that I will answer in a future episode. Again, that can all be found at rootfinancialpartners.com. Thanks as always for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hey everyone, it's me again for the disclaimer. Please be smart about this. Before doing anything, please be sure to consult with your tax planner or financial planner. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment, tax, legal, or other financial advice. It is for informational purposes only.